Hey guys, this is Geocast 26. Last one was a short one about summer days and the amazing experience that that was. I highly recommend you come to the next one. And maybe I'll start off with a little story. This is before summer days that I wanted to share. It's a funny story. It's a good story. And we'll see where that leads us. So the week before I left Costa Rica, I was staying with my friend Roxy Moon, the DJ, who helps a lot of the elemental rhythm music stuff, and a good friend of mine. He came to Rhythmia with me and did a lot of ceremonies together. He's just a wild guy. And so, and I hope telling this story, no one from Discount Car and Truck, was it Discount? Actually, I won't even mention the name of the car rental place. So he lived on the other side of Costa Rica, needed a truck. I wanted to stay with me so we can finish some music and stuff before I left. So I let him borrow my truck for a week. And he was hanging out with another friend of mine, Blake, who drives like a madman through Costa Rica. And so he's telling me a story of how he was with Blake. And Blake was driving around. And Roxy's like, man, you're such a crazy driver. He's like, isn't it inspiring? And he's like, oh, maybe it is inspiring. So he's borrowing my truck and he's up in the other side of Costa Rica, the mountains, and he's driving my truck one day before he's got to drive back to get to the airport to drop off the truck and come back to Canada. And he tells me he's just driving like a madman, windows down, music blaring, like Blake driving type thing. And going around turns faster than he should, going over bridges, and it starts to rain, and he's just having a good old time. Finally gets back to his place, which is up on a mountain, and there's a gate. And he doesn't want to get out to open the gate. So he wants to bump it open with the truck, nice and gently. It's a wooden gate. So he goes to bump it, and he's telling me the story. And he kind of bumps it open, and he's getting through, the gate kind of shuts and wedges the car. And he tries to get through it, and it wedges it even more. And so now the truck is stuck, wedged in between the gate, and he can't even get it out. And so he runs upstairs to call his friend to come help, who's got to kind of lift the gate as he kind of drives the car through, ends up making a huge scratch and dent in the side of the truck, which I don't know about. And in that moment, he starts panicking because he's got to drop off the truck tomorrow and doesn't want to get charged from the car rental company this huge fee to fix it. So the next day, he's on an adventure to find someone who can fix this thing. And he starts traveling around. And he's a very eccentric guy, so dresses in like these flowy clothes, and he really stands out in Costa Rica with a bunch of ticos. And can't really speak Spanish, and at the first body shop he gets there, and there's this homeless guy there that's asking him, you know, can he help him, does he need anything, does he want to buy something? He's like, no, I'm good. So he goes in, and the homeless guy follows him in there. So you got Roxy Moon all dressed up, probably with something on his head, some sort of headdress, and flowy clothes, and this homeless guy, and they're trying to talk to the guy about fixing the car, and like, no, we can't do that, you know, go down this way. So the homeless guy with broken English kind of convinces Roxy Moon that he needs him to help him to figure out how to fix this thing, and they go off on this adventure, shop after shop that's closed, that doesn't have the paint, that can't do it. And eventually they're getting further and further away towards Punta Arenas. And the guy keeps telling him, okay, keep going this way. And Roxy's not sure. This guy leading him on a goose chase. This guy going to try to like rob me or something. He doesn't get that vibe, but it's getting weirder and weirder. And eventually they're going on this long drive down another 20 kilometers. He's running out of time. He's got to get back to the other side of Costa Rica to bring the truck back in the morning. And they're running out of options, and just intuitively, he pulls a Yui on the highway, and the guy sees like this kind of shop there, and they find this body shop, and they go in. It's like a family-run body shop, and the guy says he'll do it, and it's only going to cost like a couple hundred bucks, like 150, 200 bucks. And he said, okay, let's try it. So they try it, and he tries to just touch up the paint. They come back and they all look at it and they're like, no, this is not going to fly. It was just a touch-up. So it's okay, I got to buff the whole thing out, pop it out, refix it. It's going to take a few hours, like 3 hours, but we can do it. We have the matching paint. So like, okay, fine. So Roxy and the homeless kid, they walk off and they have lunch. And, you know, Roxy ends up buying this kid lunch, a bucket of fried chicken, and they're just talking about life and just connecting in the most intimate and just simple way of just like trying to understand each other and trying to figure out their life. And he sees this guy's like eating like every last morsel of food, you know, just really could tell he's hungry. And they just spend this whole time connecting. And he was telling about his life, how this kid was kind of in a foster home, lost his parents at 10 years old, the foster home kind of collapsed, and he was living out on the street by himself. And it was just amazing perspective for Roxy to be, you know, living in these extremes, living in these like really nice houses, staying in Costa Rica with friends, and then seeing this opposite extreme of this extreme poverty and this simple life that this guy's living that seems to be, you know, quite happy and content, or, you know, just accepting the hand he was dealt, you know. And so they go back and they walk back eventually, and the car is perfectly fixed, and, you know, obviously Roxy's happy, pays a couple hundred bucks. I think it was like, I don't know, $300, which probably through the car company to fix it, in his mind, is like, okay, a couple thousand bucks. So he's already a big winner. And he asked the guy if he needs a ride home. So he drives him all the way back to where he lives. And I think the guy was embarrassed about showing him exactly where he lives. He was like, okay, you can drop me off here at the park, but I want to give you something. And so the kid wants to give him a mango, and he knows exactly where the best mangoes are. And so in a really quick way, he was able to get a mango down from the top of the tree. I don't know if he threw a rock at or used a stick or did something to get these incredibly ripe and juicy mangoes to give as an offering of friendship to Roxy. And then Roxy, in turn, gives him whatever money he has left on him. So an extra like $100, gives this kid, just says like, hey man, like you could really use this. And the kid starts crying. And he tells Roxy, you know, this was the best day of my life. This was the best day of my life. And then Roxy starts crying. They're both crying together about this crazy, like, weird synchronistic moment that ended up being such a profound experience for both of them out of just human connection, of just really just connecting with each other. And so he ends up like walking home, and then Roxy was curious, so he drove by. He drives by this kind of like tent town in the middle of like a jungle of like just all these like homeless people like living under like tarps, and, you know, just like something that we have zero exposure to. You know, we have no idea what that would be like. And, you know, as he's telling me the story, I'm like laughing the whole time, you know, because I find it so funny, because I had got the full insurance package. So he could have just returned it if he would have called me, because he was afraid to tell me, he didn't want me to know that, hey man, I scratched your car, like I'm gonna fix it, you know, what do I do, where do I go? And if he would just called me, it would have been like, hey, don't worry about it, I got the full insurance. Because last time I broke my mirror and it cost me like $1,000 just to fix the rear view mirror. So I figured, in Costa Rica, like there's branches everywhere. And so it's funny that like the way that kind of unfolded was like, it was more than just the adventure of trying to fix the car and whatever. It was because like this experience was supposed to happen. And it was a deeply profound experience for both of them, you know? And it's interesting how kind of life unfolds like that sometimes, where we kind of find ourselves in these experiences that cause us to reflect and to appreciate, you know, what we have, and to have more understanding and compassion for others, and to see that, you know, although we come from different situations, we're more similar than we are different in many ways. You know, there's a lot of resonance when we can just really try to connect with that. Another amazing way that I've seen that recently is there's this kind of redneck Southern artist called Anthony Oliver, and he made this song about the current times we live in and about how the rich are trying to take control. I want to know what we think and what we do. And there's a video I saw of them sharing that song, and all these different people from all walks of life, different ethnicities, watching it and really connecting with it. And I think we're at a time in humanity where we have to really start looking at, you know, what makes us more similar than what makes us more different. And I think there's a lot of powers that be that are trying to exert influence and control and power through things like the climate crisis or whatever, you know, racism and all of these things. But I think what they're trying to do is just put us against each other and make excuses to take more control. And it's a pivotal time, because I feel what's happening is there's this mass awakening I talked about in the last time, where people are waking up to the truth. People are not feeling, they're feeling something needs to change within them. And I think that's where all change starts, within the individual, so that we can live a more connected life and hopefully break down some of these control systems that are probably created out of fear in themselves, you know, where people want to hold on to what they have and not want to lose that, and what that looks like on the macro level for all of humanity. And so, you know, a question that Derek here, you know, our videographer is in the room here, great guy, took our level one training. I think one of the questions he asked me about was, you know, what do I think about, you know, are things predestined? And what was the question, Derek? Like,
yeah, free will versus predetermined fate.
Yeah, so it's interesting because I think there is like multiple timelines that we have the potential to access. But ultimately, when we get through time, looking back, there was only one way it could have ever happened. Right? So looking backwards, it's like, hey, it could only happen that way. It's the only way it happened. There's no other way that could have happened because this is what happened. And I think time is an illusion. It's hard to wrap our mind around it. But I think ultimately, it's the way we experience these things that happen and the self-observation, the contemplation, and the witnessing of things as they unfold. So, you know, I'm not sure if we can control it and change the outcome because at the end, it's always going to happen only one single way. I think the most self-awareness we can have going through it is like we're observing and learning and growing as we're going through it, being less attached to different outcomes, being optimistic to future potential. And maybe we're shifting and creating this thing that's only going to happen one way, but in the real moment, we're kind of guiding through it to get to its ultimate potential. And I think we've gone through many cycles like this before. I think humanity is much older than we are led to believe. And I think we keep coming up to this potentially collapse of duality, where we come back to oneness. And before you get there, you know, the poles start opposing and looking like there's all this chaos and separation and differentiation. And the fear starts to come up. But fear is a great kind of mover. It's a great like activator or instigator. And I think the whole thing is to try to like break free of the fear and to come through and to see like, hey, there's really nothing to be afraid of, you know, and that if we can break our fear and see that, hey, we're actually more similar and we're not here to kind of like kill each other and destroy each other and look at our differences, we can actually live harmoniously. I think that's when we're going to see the shift. And who knows what happens then? Maybe this experience collapses in itself and we move on to something different that's beyond this form. But I think that all starts within the individuals. And once the individuals start changing on the planet, who knows? Maybe the change within all of us will affect a change in those people who have the influence and the power. We'll start seeing things differently. So that's my hope and my prayer, that we can get there one day. We do have a lot of work to do, but it starts within each individual, starting to kind of reflect and show up in a way that can create the change they want to see in the world. That's an old cliche, but be the change you want to see, and that's where it starts. So I'm not sure the answer to that question, but it is something that I'm curious about. But what's the outcome of that answer? You know, like if you do believe there's only one outcome, does that change the way you operate your life? Do you just surrender to everything and allow it to flow? Or do you take action and kind of be engaged and enjoy it? You know, like if the world is going to end, do you want to live your last days in fear and, hey, there's nothing I can do about it? Or do you really want to just experience it right in through, you know, the end times? Or maybe it's experiencing it right to some sort of transformation, this global transformation. You know, so I think life is about engaging with it. And even when you're feeling down and not good, it's like, yeah, there's all this kind of pressure to disassociate and to avoid that feeling. But sometimes to move through it, we have to really embrace it, to transform it. And in all the practices that I've learned and like plant medicine, whatever, it's like, yeah, the hard stuff when it comes up is trying to move through. So maybe in the global scale, like all this stuff is coming up so we can kind of finally move through it rather than suppressing it, leaving it under the surface. And again, it starts within you, you know, to forgive, to be compassionate, and to kind of change from the inside out. So yeah, so that's kind of my thoughts on that. I know you had a few other questions, Derek. Is there anything else you were curious about or my perspective on anyways?
Yeah, I mean, your definition of holistic living and where this is all going with your company, you know, and how this is all changing now, and it's like, you know, kind of pivotal point for you in the business.
Yeah, so like I'm trying to find the balance between my mind and my heart, you know, and again, the last episode, I started talking about gene keys, and I realized I have this kind of complexity issue where I overcomplicate everything. I'm trying to move to simplicity. You know, and when one of the things is really just trying to like allow things to grow organically and follow my intuition rather than my mind, you know. And in the breath work, as it started, it was never intended to be a business. But I started feeling, you know, like the impact and within myself, the shift, witnessing it in others and allowing myself to kind of be curious about that. Whether it be curious going inward or curious connecting outward. And I realized that breath work was just a tool, you know, but what it really was about was, you know, finding out who we really are, our elemental rhythm, you know, exposing the shadow aspects of ourself, you know, finding out like what we're repressing inside of ourselves, finding out where our core beliefs lie, and getting into this elemental rhythm where we start to, you know, release some of these fears, these beliefs about ourselves and the world, start living more positive. And ultimately, you know, one of the big things, and the, you know, there's a lot of studies around the nervous system, is like, how do we feel like safe? And get into that really like feeling safe and supported and being able to come to a place of creation rather than destruction. Because destruction is fear and control and chaos. And when we're in this space of safety and love and gratitude, you know, we can create from this different place. And so I'm trying to like step into that as you feel like the outside world is creating every reason you have to be afraid, right? Because fear controls. And when people are in this fear mode, they kind of shut down and they become more subservient and they, you know, they're just looking for help to get out of this feeling, you know, the same way, you know, you try to escape your feelings by, you know, distracting yourself with like sex, drugs, TV, all these things. Like, hey, if powers that be can keep us scared, one, they're going to keep their grip on control. But two, they're also going to make you disengage, or you'll want to transform and, you know, become more active in it. So it's like, yeah, trying to help people to get into that space where they can really see who they really are, to transcend their kind of self-beliefs and maybe even beliefs about the world. And that goes far beyond breath work. That's why we're trying to teach different topics and nervous system regulation and somatic processing and core belief reprogramming. And ultimately, you know, being part of a community and having good relationships. And all the studies have shown, like, people who live the longest live in a community where they feel supported. And, you know, the biggest impact on people's longevity and health is the quality of their relationships. And what's the most important relationship that you have? It's a relationship to yourself. And that's where it starts. You know, if you have a poor relationship to yourself, it's going to be hard to be in good relationship with others. You know, and a lot of times we give up ourselves to impress others, or we're not being our true self because of fear of judgment and all these things. And I think it's really key to start reflecting on these things. And this has been a lot of a reflection I've had in the last 5-10 years. You know, trying to figure it out, because it's not easy. It's complicated and it's scary and it's uncomfortable. And I go through these kind of waves of ups and downs where I feel like I'm at a good point, and then I'm like, okay, the next learning is around the corner, and there's this other stage that I'm gonna have to go through, because I believe we came here to learn and to grow. And maybe it all is all predestined. And this whole algorithm is set out for all of us to have this experience. It's already pre-programmed that we follow this kind of algorithm that kind of just like creates this experience for us. But as we go through it, it's like, how do we experience it? How do we learn from it? Are we kind of shut off as zombies, just walking through the motions? Or are we able to consciously reflect and consciously observe and to learn and to kind of be present and to kind of move through it with ease, grace, curiosity, and excitement versus fear and shutting down and, you know, all those other things. So, yeah, I guess that's where I'm currently at right now. And I guess that can change as well. But it's interesting. I love, you know, being open to other people's beliefs. You know, there's a time where I thought I knew it all. You know, one cup of ayahuasca changed that for me many years ago. I realized I knew nothing. And I was just being open to like other perspectives and beliefs. And there's a lot out there that's trying to confuse people. A lot on social media that's fear-based and half-truths and misinformation and disinformation and psyops and propaganda. It's going on from the beginning of time. But I think it's also there to kind of like get you to a point of like, okay, like I can lose my mind in this completely, but what's the truth that I know in my heart? What's around me? Where can I impact your relationships, the way you show up, and to feel good about that? You know, no matter what the external circumstances are, no matter how bad or good it gets, it's like, how do you show up as a human being in your true humanness, in your true elemental rhythm, your essence, your dharma? And I think that's kind of like the gift we've been given and the challenge we've been given at the same time. You know, it's like, how do we navigate this world? We don't know how we got here. We don't know why we're here, really, you know, and we're not going to be here for a very long time, you know, and hopefully, I believe that there's something beyond this physical life that we get to experience. Maybe we keep coming back until we learn enough to get there, which hopefully not, because I don't know how many human lives I want to endure, but, you know, I feel like when we wake up at the end of it, after this life, it's like, whoa, what a rush that was. How crazy. I can't believe I took it so seriously. I can't believe these kind of things happened. I said, okay, let's do it again, you know? Or maybe we're in like a psychedelic trip right now. I heard a story on Joe Rogan about a guy that smoked salvia and his experience. He lived for like 20 years, a different life, you know, with a family and kids and, you know, all these kind of things. And he came out of it, was like 10 minutes later. So imagine we're in this experience. It's a trip we all took and jumped into something that we're going to come out of one day and be in a totally different experience, you know? So things to ponder on, because none of us really know, you know? None of us really know. We go to sleep and we dream, and where is that? Where is that happening? You know, we have these visions and psychedelic experience. Where is that happening? Why is that happening? What does it have to do with this whole thing? So it can be confusing at times, but I think there's this kind of truth within our hearts that's kind of guiding us. You know, if we can start to step out of our mind and just start being more in the intelligence of the heart, the intuition, the curiosity, the love, the gratitude, it's there to guide us, you know. But it's been set up challenging on purpose with all these distractions and ways to kind of get lost in your own stuff. So, yeah.
So from your own experience, you know, it's like when we do something like a breath work or we do like a really deep meditation, and sometimes you're on that wave and you're really, you're vibing, you're in it. Or you do a plant medicine ceremony, there's any of these modalities, and we pop through, and I think they call it Satori. It's like that momentary enlightenment, but it diminishes over time. You go back to real life. You know, my question to you is, what do you think from those moments of your Satoris at this next age, this next, you know, like, the Andean cosmology called the belly. Like, what do you think this next belly is? This next life, this next new kind of thing is like? And what can you, from your own experience, kind of draw from that?
Yeah, so I don't know if the Satori is like a taste of what's possible or a taste of what's yet to come, you know? And is that possibility only for this life? Like, hey, is this what we're supposed to be trying to strive for? Which can be like very disassociative, like to escape in a way. But maybe that's what that unity feels like that we can achieve. So is that unity only to try to get there now? Or is it actually what we're going back to that we've had to forget so that we can have these experiences to learn? And you know, like Alan Watts' video is like, hey, like when you're God and you can become everything and become a dragon slayer and, you know, pro football athlete and live every, like life, you know, starts getting boring because you know you're God and you know that, you know, you can do anything and there's no threat. Maybe he can create something where it's possible that he can be destroyed, you know, like create this fear, this opposing force. And I think that's part of the mystery is not to get too wrapped up into it. But one, you know, maybe if we are all part of God, we just had to forget to come and have this true experience, to go back to that once again. And how beautiful and amazing is that, you know? You know, I'm sure once we all got there to perfect utopia, it'd probably get boring pretty quick. And then we'd probably want to start it again, maybe in a different way. And I think that's what this constant evolution is, that we're always finding and recreating ourselves as a creator. It's like, what else can we create? What, you know, what's next? This curiosity of what's possible. You know, is there like an upper limit to it? I have no idea. I think that's way beyond the capacity of the human mind. So it's interesting to think about it, but I don't think we'll ever understand in this lifetime because we're not supposed to, you know. What we're supposed to do is a whole another question, which I also don't know the answer to. But just contemplating on the mystery of life can be scary and challenging, but also very liberating and consciousness expanding at the same time. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So I think that'll wrap, you know, today's kind of journey into Geocast 25. You know, it's great to have Derek here. He asked some great questions. But yeah, the question for you is, you know, like, how do you want to live this life? You know, how do you want to experience it? Even when it gets hard and challenging, you know, sometimes you may think about, oh, it'd be better not to be alive at all. But would it? I mean, we're here for a reason. And just to embrace the discomfort and to try to work through it and to try to create, you know, a positive change of more harmony, unity, peace, and love. And I guess that's the message I'd love to share with everyone as I'm trying to find it within myself, which is not always easy. You know, we all get caught up in our own stories and loops and programs. But yeah, I would love to hear from you guys, any thoughts you have, any experiences you had, or even any questions you would have. And thank you for those who do reach out and hearing about your experiences. I love it so much. And if you're curious about breathwork, elementalrhythm.com, we have a lot of amazing breathwork tracks and ways where you can dive deeper into your own self and learn more about yourself and experience more of the mystery of life. So thanks for tuning in. Again, I'm Gio. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.